Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Thank you for your thoughts towards us. They are for good and for peace and never for evil. Thank you for all the goodness that we enjoy from you, the favor of God, times of refreshing. We declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be, even on here today. Receive all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, you know, yesterday I was going through and calling out the favor of God in the lives of several characters in the Bible. And I want to go through and finish that today and then make some other declarations by the grace of God. You know, I'm not going to go through all the ones that we have covered so far, but, you know. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. Thank you for your thoughts towards us. They are for good and for peace and never for evil. Thank you for all the goodness that we enjoy from you, the favor of God, times of refreshing. We declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be, even on here today. Receive all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, you know, yesterday I was going through and calling out the favor of God in the lives of several characters in the Bible. And I want to go through and finish that today and then make some other declarations by the grace of God. You know, I'm not going to go through all the ones that we have covered so far, but, you know, I'll start from where we ended yesterday, towards the end yesterday. People like the Shunammite woman, the Jews in captivity, Israel and the Jews, I mean, Ezra and the Jews, Nehemiah, and so forth. I mean, the kinds of favor that they got, favor before kings even, you know. And I declare that yesterday I was talking about visas and petitions and so forth. Even gave testimonies along that, you know. So God can do that for anyone that's in that situation. God can open his good favor upon you so you obtain favor. Open up his good treasure, he said, so that you obtain favor of the Lord for anything you're petitioning the government for. Receive sudden approval in Jesus' name. We talked about Nehemiah also found favor before King Artaxerxes, and, you know, and so forth. And the Bible says that, you know, if you are diligent in your ways, you also will obtain favor before kings. Proverbs 22 and 29. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his ways? Should stand before kings and not before mean men. So we talked about all that. Now I'm going to go on to the last set of characters that I want to call out from the Bible. I've been going through the Old Testament. We're going to get through the New Testament as well today. Let me try to get to this very quickly. Esther was the is the next one. And if you're counting, this will be number 21. Covered 20 characters already. Number 21, Esther. In Esther chapter 2, verse 9, in fact, the whole book of Esther is about favor. So it's amazing. The kind of favor that someone was a, you know, a slave girl would end up having. And in order for God to favor her and favor her people, a lot of things had to happen. It's an interesting story. And we can, I'm going to call out just some portions of it because it is interesting to see, you know, how God put that favor upon her and all the things that happened because of the favor of God. It's an interesting, very, very interesting story. Praise the Lord. So we start out from Esther chapter 2, you know, and, you know, verse 9. So there was this audition and so forth, and when the maidens were gathered together in Shushan, we're told, Esther also, her uncle Mordecai had told her to enter the audition, looking for a replacement. See, and if you back up a little bit and see how God will do things, in order for this thing to happen, for this blessing to come upon Esther and eventually upon Mordecai and then the Jews, God had to allow certain things to happen. The first thing that God allowed to happen was that, Vashti, the queen, somehow became defiant to the king when the queen was beckoned, to come. King called her to come. She did not come. And she just refused to come. The king was angry. And even his counselors told him, look, if you let her get away with this, then all the women are going to be emboldened to disregard their husbands because you are setting a precedent here. So you need to deal with this thing. Don't let it be like that. And God was setting something up. I say God was cooking something. All of that had to happen in order for the king to be looking for a replacement. So it's all in God's plans, not allowing that. The woman probably didn't know what got into her and made her to act like that, but she did. And the king was going to remove her as king, as queen. And so they were looking for a replacement. Well, Mordecai, the uncle for Esther, also telling her, well, you need to enter that audition. So she entered the audition and so forth, and God gave her favor. There's a lot of beautiful women that entered, and preparations were made for them for months and months and months, close to a year that they were being prepared. All kinds of spices, their body, the lotion, and so make their skin clean and smooth and beautiful, so that they could be like a beauty queen. Months in preparation. Finally, the day came. And, everybody, they went in one by one to the king and so forth. Yeah. Esther also went in and she obtained favor. Favor. Praise the Lord. Esther was also brought into king's house, custody of Hegai, the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him and she obtained kindness of him and speedily gave her things for her purification and such things that belonged to her. And seven maidens were given to her and at the king's house. And the king, listen to this, the king preferred her and her maidens, unto the best place of the house of the women. So she obtained tremendous favor. Well, she was shrewd too. She didn't show it to the people at first. She just kept things and so forth. So Mordecai kept going back and forth, pacing through, wanting to know what happened, So in any case, when it was her turn, 12 months being prepared, stand before the king, she obtained tremendous favor. And she was the one that was chosen. And can you imagine, she would now have obtained favor to become queen instead of Vashti, the queen. And she was a slave girl. And so the rest of the story, a beautiful story, how she went from being a slave, a slave girl to becoming a queen. Beautiful, beautiful story. But there's more, there's more in that story of Esther. There was a time, even after she had become queen, that the life of the Jews were in jeopardy because of, this thing between Mordecai and Haman, right? Haman was promoted and so forth, and everybody was to do obeisance to him, bow the knee and so forth. Mordecai wouldn't do it. As a Jew, he wouldn't bow the knee to anybody but his God. And so, and he sat at the gate and he wouldn't leave the place. Haman would see him pass by, everybody else would bow to Haman. Mordecai wouldn't do it. So this Haman got furious in his heart. What is this man? Everybody else do me reverence, but not this man. So he began to plot different things. Well, his friends, his wife, everybody spurred him on. So, well, why are you going to, you know, deal with this Mordecai only? Kill all his, you know, tribe, all of them. You have the power to do it. You know how the story went. You know, so, but favor was working behind the scenes. And Mordecai would report that to Queen Esther to go get, ask something of the king. The queen said, well, I mean, I can't just go before the king unless I'm called. If I did that, my life's like, you know, in jeopardy. My uncle told her, you better do it. And if you think that just because you're in the palace, you're safe, you're not safe. And if you don't do it, God's going to raise somebody else up. And how do you know that it wasn't for this reason that God put you there? See, the favor of God is always for a reason. God puts you in a place and gives you tremendous favor. It's for a reason. I mean, Joseph, you know, when he was promoted to the top of the kingdom, he remembered his brethren for good, actually. And he also gave them the best of the land, brought the father back and everything like that, you know. And many stories that we see like that in the Bible. Anyway, Esther, she went in, said, well, pray for me, I'm going in. If I perish, I perish. 3 days fast since she called, but she did not perish. She obtained favor. The king actually stretched out the golden scepter to her, a sign of favor. And the king said, well, what do you want? Anything. Up to the half of the kingdom. So Esther, being shrewd and being so instructed of her uncle and of the Lord, she softened up the king with all kinds of things and so on and so forth until the day that the king would give her authority to write anything they wanted. And she finally said, this man is the one that's going to, I was planning to destroy us. The king said, what? And meanwhile, they tricked the king to, you know, put a writing out to kill the Jews. He didn't know what he was signing. But when he realized that, oh, it was actually Haman that was trying to do this thing, and the queen said, well, it is this man that's trying to destroy us. Oh, my goodness. Well, who's the king going to choose? Esther, his favorite, or this Haman that, you know, just trying to look like was trying to fall upon his wife? You know, it was an interesting story. Anyway, you know the rest of the story. A tremendous favor that God granted through Esther, the ability for them to write anything against the, and defend themselves against their would-be destroyers and defend themselves. And God bring, you know, brought victory to the Jews because of favor that was upon Esther. Powerful, powerful story. Let me move on. Let's talk about all of the Jews at one time, how they obtained favor. And you know their story, but it is reported in the book of Psalms 44, verses 1 to 3. And the first few books of the Old Testament and other places, like the Psalms and so on, tell of the journeys of these children of Israel, you know, how it came to pass that when they multiplied, they became slaves in the land of Egypt, and how God brought them out and all that. And what God had promised their forefathers, you know, to give them a land of a blessing flowing with milk and honey and so on. You know, let's see how the psalmist summarized it in Psalm 44. You know, he said, we have heard with our eyes, I mean, our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand, and plantest them, and how didst afflict the people and cast them out. Listen to this. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thy arm and the light of thy countenance. because thou hast a favor unto them. May the Lord grant us favor. I mean, this kind of favor that was on Esther, this kind of favor that was upon the people as a group to even inherit various things. Ah, the Lord grant you that favor. You know, if you can get the king's scepter pointed in your direction for all of your requests, you know, that's the prayer that comes out of the story of Esther. It was pointed in her request. She put her hands on it and got anything that she wanted. And the Lord grant you favor, obtain the king's scepter pointed in your direction for all of your requests from the Lord, in Jesus' name. Likewise, for the Israelites, I obtain favor. May the Lord grant you favor to obtain real estate. That's right. I call it real estate. They got not the land in possession by their own power, their own strength. That's real estate. Well, somebody may be receiving a blessing of real estate. If you believe it, the Lord can put that favor upon you. Praise the Lord. Now, Daniel has another story of tremendous favor. Somebody who also was in captivity. You know, in Daniel chapter 1, we see that Nebuchadnezzar ordered a selection process and so forth to get, you know, the best of all the princes. Daniel was a prince. So the children of the of kings, a king. But they were in captivity. And, you know, Nebuchadnezzar said, well, you know, check out these ones and bring me the best. Those who are skilled in sciences and understanding and can learn the language of the Chaldeans and this and that and so forth. Sharp ones, bring them in. And as they were trying to prepare them, Daniel obtained favor from the king of the eunuchs and said, well, we don't want to eat the king's meat. We're going to defile ourselves by eating it. Give thy servants the grace to eat something else of our choosing. And he got favor. The Bible said he was in favor and tender love. They loved him. And he, you know, he got out of the king's commandment. Now, you don't get out of the king's commandment. If the king says something, that's what you do. There's no getting out of it. But he got out of it because he got favor from the person that had the charge over the king's commandment. And, of course, at the end of the day, they were fairer. Him and his companions were much fairer and said, give us 10 days, prove us and see. If not, then we'll go back to whatever you said. And after the end of 10 days, of course, their screen came fairer. They were only eating pulse and different things like that. So he got favor there. Yeah, that was one first place that he got favor. Well, he also got favor, you know, when Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, dream the dream, he couldn't remember. Asking all the Chaldeans and soothsayers and the, you know, astrologers and deep magicians and the rest of them. Tell him his dream and also interpret it. And they said to him, look, there is no king anywhere that asked somebody to do this. You tell us the dream. This is what people do. They tell the dream, then we tell the interpretation. How in the world are we going to know what you dreamt when you don't tell us? He said, well, if you don't tell me, I'm going to have all of you killed. And then he said, and he was so angry that he said, all the wise men, of course, Daniel was counted as some of the wise men, you know, understanding sciences and sharp like that. So his friends himself and all the Chaldeans, everybody's lives was in jeopardy. Yeah, and so, but he prayed and he obtained favor too. He said, look, we know that the king asked you to carry this out, but give us just a couple of days. We will tell the king. And so he obtained favor. I mean, these things were tremendous favor that Daniel obtained, you know, in escaping the commandment of the king from time to time, you know. And in this time also, a great, great, great danger that they were in of being killed along with everybody else. You know, but he obtained favor. So in Daniel chapter 2, you know, verses 48 and 49, you know, we see that, you know, not only did he obtain the favor to escape that, and he came and told of the dreams and so forth. At the end of it all, the king made Daniel a great man. Daniel chapter 2 verse 48. So there was a series of favors that were just, Daniel was like a favor magnet. I mean, every time the king commanded something and he wanted something different, you know, which he thought would benefit him more, he got favor to get out of it. And then when the king said, "We're going to kill everybody," he got favor to, you know, take some time to go pray. And of course, the Lord answered that and showed him the dream. And when he did tell the king the dream and all that, the king made Daniel a great man. Daniel 2, chapter 40, I mean verse 48, made him a great man, gave him many gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. And he became the chief of the governors and all the wise men. I mean, instant promotion came to Daniel. Many people didn't know that Daniel was actually over everybody, finally. And he became chief over all the wise men, made him governor over all the province. I mean, made him ruler over everything. Yeah, tremendous favor that came upon Daniel. But see, Daniel was a man of integrity. You know, there are a lot of people, when they are promoted, they forget the people that helped them to get there. That wasn't Daniel. Daniel, you remember that these, his friends, were the ones he went to. He said, "Let us pray that we be not killed." And they all held fasting and night vigil and prayed and so forth. But it was Daniel to whom the Lord revealed his secret. And he was the one that went and stood before the king. But it was his friends that prayed. The friends prayed with him to help him get that answer. And he remembered his friends. This is a lesson for many people. A lot of people, when they get promoted, they forget the people that helped them to get there. Just forgot that. Not Daniel. Daniel remembered this to his friends. I mean, the man was a faithful man. He was a friend indeed. You know, a friend is a real friend that remembers their friends when they get promotion. I don't leave their friends behind. Some friends, they are only there to get what they can get out of you. And then when they get what they want, they leave you behind. Not Daniel. Daniel requested of the king for his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he requested promotion for them as well. And put them over the affairs of Babylon. Huh? That's right. So that's a lesson to learn even from Daniel. But the favor that was upon Daniel to be able to stand before king, even favor to understand dark sentences, favor to know, you know, how to dissolve doubts and different things and bring things out. May the Lord grant you that kind of favor. Favor to stand before kings. Favor for sudden promotions. Come your way in Jesus' name. And when he does, forget not your friends. I helped you to get there. You know, some people would rather just use their friends as stepping stones and then forget them. But, you know, don't be like that. Remember, you know, the story of Daniel. How he also requested promotion for his friend. And you see, the thing was that Daniel was in such favor with the king at that time. It didn't matter what he requested. The king just granted it. He said, "Look, he recommended this." You could say, "Do it." In charge anyway. You know, if you say so, then that's good enough for me. And he said, "Yeah, I say so." And he said, "Well, do it then." And they put them in charge. Hallelujah. Got promoted. You know, a lot of blessings come when you are on top like that. I mean, you get servants, you get you get compensation, you get bigger pay, whatever they did in those days for those people. More came to his friends because of him. Himself got favor, and he made sure that favor rubbed off on his friends. Praise the Lord. So that's a powerful, powerful story from Daniel. Well, let's go to, you know, I think I've said enough about those stories in the Old Testament. Let me go to the New Testament stories. A lot of people that obtained, you know, tremendous favor too in the New Testament stories. could be their situation was, you know, they were struggling with different things at times, and then of suddenly obtained favor from the Lord. You know, so let's look at some stories. Switch now to the New Testament. I'll start with Zechariah's Elizabeth. These were the parents of John the Baptist. And as it turned out, Elizabeth had been barren for a long time. They were married and were stricken in years as well, but, you know, they didn't have children. But the man was a priest, continued to do his duties. Well, they continued in the integrity of their heart, but they didn't have children. But the Lord remembered them. So let's read this. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah. You know, he was of the clan of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous. Notice that. You know, in this lesson, I've talked about how to obtain favor before God. Well, righteousness and walking in integrity of your heart and keeping his commandments and doing it. He said, you know, some of the greatest ways to obtain that favor from the Lord. And so they were both righteous, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. So this is something they had going for them. Now, but you say, well, if they were like that, well, how come then they didn't have children? Well, yeah, stuff happens. You know, terrible, challenging, difficult things do happen to righteous and upright people. We see that these ones were called blameless, walking in all the commandments of the Lord. They were blameless. They did everything. They did everything right. But yet, the one thing eluded them was having children. And there's no couple that doesn't want to have children. Yeah. And, you know, but nevertheless, they continued in the integrity of their heart. And it came to pass, you know, because they had no children, and because, you know, Elizabeth was barren, they were both well now stricken in years. I mean, so it came to pass that they had lost hope, you know, because they were just, well, but they were not going to let their situation be a downer to their faith and service of God. Yes, there are times when they will remember that, but, you know, they continue to serve the Lord blamelessly. So one day, it came to pass that while this man Zacharias executed the priest office before God, you know, as he did his thing, you know, according to the custom of the priest's office, it was his turn to go in and burn incense. He went into the temple of the Lord, and all the whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side. Now, this angel of the Lord, this man always appeared in, you know, significant times to bring, you know, to bring some significant prophecy associated with God's purposes, divine purposes. This man, Gabriel, I mean, he was a chosen angel that did that. So, when his retire saw the man, he was troubled because I'm the only one in this room. How did this one get here? Yeah. So the man, angel, said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard." That's favor. Favor for the Lord to answer your prayer. And he must send an angel to strengthen you. Thy wife, Elizabeth, shall bear thee a son. And not just a son. You're going to tell him, he even tells him the name you're going to call him. I mean, the Lord knows everything. The Lord, you know, sometimes even give names even before somebody's born. It was the case with John. It was the case with Jesus, even before he was born. He gave him a name. Call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great. See, greatness again is from the Lord. We talked about that in the story of Abraham. Yeah, also he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. You know, and now people didn't think of John as being great. Jesus did. And this angel also did. You know, he will be great. He shall drink no wine, no strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. How many people can say that? How many people can say they were filled of the Holy Ghost even from the mother's womb? Well, John was. Scripture says it right here. And he shall go, you know, and turn the hearts of the children of Israel, to turn them back to the Lord their God, and go before him the spirit and power of Elias. I mean, started to bring all the things that both Isaiah said and also Malachi. You know, Malachi talked about send the messenger before that face, and the messenger of the covenant will come. Isaiah talked about it, go and prepare the way of the Lord. Isaiah 40, Malachi 3, they talked about these things. And this angel was prophesying to this man, you know, and will bring those people who are disobedient, will bring them back. He will make ready a people for the Lord. And this man, this John that would so be born, so be great favor from the Lord. You know, out of the situation that was called barrenness, some tremendous thing happened, came out of there. Well, you know, Zechariah said, well, why shall I know that this thing? Well, my old man, my wife is well stricken in years. At this point, Gabriel was not happy for that answer. And he said, look, I am Gabriel, and I know what I'm talking about. And I stand in the presence of the Lord. And I tell you this thing, you don't believe? Well, because of it. It will happen anyway, because it is directly connected to God's divine purposes. However, because you did not believe me, that's what's going to happen. Well, you should have just used your voice to repeat what I said and just say, be it unto me according to your word. But because you didn't, you know, that voice that you should have used, you will be dumb until the day this thing happens. The angel was angry with him. You know, so he said, look, I came to you to bring you these glad tidings. You obtained favor, and why didn't you believe it? You know, because now, of course, the man was supposed to be a priest. I mean, he was a priest and everything. He was supposed to know the things of God. So, you know, the angel was not as tolerant with him as he was with a maid that he would talk to later on as well. You know, but this man should have known. And should recognize the word of God. Should have known when it was being spoken over him. And should have aligned himself with it. Because he didn't, well, you know, put, you know, a scolding on him. And also judgment. Well, you're going to be dumb until the day that this thing happens. Then you would know that I was sent from the presence of the Lord. You know. And so it was so that when Zacharias came out of place, he couldn't talk. You know, people were wondering what happened to him. You know, he was using sign language after that. He said, oh my goodness, something must have happened to this man. Anyway, he communicated the same somehow to his wife. And of course, it happened to her just like the angel said. And she became pregnant. You know, and for 5 months, she tried to hide it. At one point in time, she couldn't hide it anymore. People started to know, you know, Elizabeth, pregnant. Yeah, everybody started rejoicing. And this same angel would go to Mary later on. Mary herself would find favor. So let's make a prayer out of the favor that the Lord gave to Zacharias and Elizabeth. Here's a prayer that I want to make. I declare that couples that are parents in waiting. That's right. Will obtain favor from the Lord even this year. Ha! Makato shekerele osaya. To have children. Favor, times of refreshing coming from the presence of the Lord. Just like this couple. Well, the secret though was that they separated that sorrow of heart from their worship. They continued to worship the Lord. They stood in the integrity of their heart. Even at times they had that sorrow of not, you know, bearing child and so forth. But they didn't let that stop them. They continued faithful in all the commandments of the Lord, blameless. And yes, our God is also faithful. And the Lord remembered them. I pray for all couples and are still parents in waiting, receive and obtain sudden favor from the Lord this year. And children are coming your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's talk about Mary. How Mary also obtained favor from the Lord. She was the chosen one to fulfill Genesis 3:15. Well, in Genesis 3:15 and also Isaiah 7:14, we're told that the seed of woman is coming and that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. Whoever heard of such a thing? It did happen. And the angel came to her and told her that she was the selected one, the chosen one. And she said, how can this thing be? Same thing like Zechariah said. But the angel was more patient with her because she was just a maid. She was not a priest. The angel explained it to her because even the thing that she was believing or had to believe was much harder than the one for Zechariah. All that Zechariah had to believe was that his old wife and he being old would be pregnant. That was not so hard. But it was a lot harder for a woman that did not have a man, would just be pregnant. It's never been heard of. How are you going to be pregnant if you didn't, sleep with a man? How are you going to do it? That was hard. But the angel knew that that was hard and told her, don't worry about it. You remember the prophecy that a virgin shall conceive? She had to think about it. The power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Don't worry about it. That thing was the most difficult thing for anybody to believe. But it was in the scriptures. It was going to happen. And she was the chosen one. And the favor of God picked her out to be the chosen one. And when she received that favor of the Lord, she was given the grace to fulfill this unique assignment. I pray the favor of God will locate you. What God has for you may not be something that, obviously everybody's assignment is different. So just like your fingerprints are different from anybody else's. And I've often said, I'm going to say it again, coded inside those fingerprints are God's divine plans for your life. Nobody else can figure it out except the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's all different. He may chart a path similar to somebody else, but never identical. Not even identical twins have the same set of fingerprints. It's impossible. It's one thing. That's a Holy Ghost code from heaven. And, palm readers, they try to figure it out, gazing into people's palms, try to read those fingerprints. You can't do it. They can conjure some lies and so forth, but they can't do it. Now, no believer should ever go and submit themselves to that. But if you do, they cast their spell and come upon you. But you should never do that. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 8, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, look, nobody can discern, or divine the life of the children of God. Can't tell. See, those that are born of the Spirit, they are like the wind. No man can tell where they're going or coming until it's gone. Praise God. So that's what Jesus said. But palm readers and the like, they're always trying to pretend like they can figure it out. Or maybe they can, for those who are under the kingdom of darkness. But they can't for your life. It's coded. And only the Holy Spirit can decode it. And the wind bloweth where it listeth, Jesus said. And thou hearest the sound of it, but you can't tell where it's coming or where it's going until it's gone and passed. So is everyone that is born by the Spirit. Nobody can discern or decode or divine your life. You can't do it. Your life is here. Yeah, it's coded inside those fingerprints. Nobody can tell it. Now, the devil, will try to deceive people, try to forecast their lives and so on and so forth. People fall for that. They will fall headlong into many sorrows. But you know that the Lord, he's got your number. And don't worry about somebody else. If you can make, one time Jesus said, can you make one hair white or black? let me ask you this question. Can you make your fingerprints like someone else's? If you can, then try to make your life like theirs. But if you cannot, which I know you cannot, then, you know, leave it up to God. Yeah, God's the one that knows how to do it. Praise the Lord. So, but I pray that the Lord will give you, I declare, favor from the Lord to fulfill your God-given unique assignment. That's what Mary had that favor. And, you know, and even when she visited her cousin Elizabeth, without anybody telling her, Holy Spirit, you know, and she said, blessed are thou among women, favored, highly favored. And that was Mary. May the Lord grant you that favor for your own mandated assignment through life, in Jesus' name. But you got to believe and do like Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. That's all God needed. And that's all that Gabriel asked her actually needed. The moment she said that, Bible said he went his way. You know, it was good. And she became pregnant from that very moment. She didn't need a man to do that. All she needed was the word of God. And John chapter 1 verse 14 tells her. He said the word was made flesh. It was in that moment when she said, be it unto me according to thy word. In that one moment, it happened. Angel went his way. My job here is done. Praise the Lord. The angel of the Lord may be looking, always looking for somebody to declare his word. We've said it multiple times out of Psalm 103 verse 20. The moment that Mary came into alignment with it, angel said, well, it's done. Things are set in motion now. And the Lord grant us the grace to come in alignment with the good word that God is speaking over your life. If you can believe it, that's it right there. Praise God. Let's talk about Simeon. Simeon was a man in Luke chapter 2 that also obtained favor, you know, powerful favor from the Lord. In fact, this man, you know, nobody knew exactly when Christ was coming. Everybody knew he was coming. I mean, all the scholars and, you know, philosophers and different things, they knew it. You know, but nobody knew exactly. But this man, it was revealed to him that didn't matter how long, you know, you will not see death until you set your eyes on the Christ. Oh my goodness. You know, I want that kind of favor. You know, Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 32, we talked about this man Simeon. It was revealed to him that he will not see death until he has seen the Lord's Christ. Powerful stuff. You know, and he did not see death until the day, you know, I mean, that thing actually did happen just like it was told him of the Lord. One day Mary and Joseph brought the little child into the, you know, temple to do according to custom of Moses and so on. And he fastened his eyes on them, took the baby, Holy Ghost revealed to him, and that's the one you're waiting for. He took up the baby in his arm, began to prophesy. You know, and then we said, we found out that, wow, you know, this thing was fulfilled that the Lord had revealed unto him. Powerful and tremendous favor. Many of us are waiting, you know, for the translation of the church. Waiting to see. The Bible says, he that has his hope in himself purifieth himself. What is the hope? Well, you know, unto them that love is appearing, shall he appear the second time, this time without corruption. He's well waiting. Some people will be favored to receive that. Others may pass away before them. We'll all meet again, but it will be a tremendous favor, you know, should we be granted the grace to still be alive at the coming of the Lord and to witness it. You know, that's the favor that we need. And, you know, some people may pass away before then. Others may still be alive by the time that happens. And what a tremendous joy it will be. That's why they call it rapture. It's rapturous joy. joy unspeakable that will happen. Well, the last thing we want to do is not be left behind. because that will be utter, the Bible said, that will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, if somebody were to miss the rapture, that have been hearing about the rapture for all their life, you grew up in church, you've been told about it. There are days that you went through life not remembering, but then occasionally some preacher comes along and reminds you of the coming of the Lord. Well, you go for weeks and months and years in your church, you don't hear anything about it, and occasionally somebody comes around and tells you about it. So you basically heard of it all your life. You know, there's nobody in this room, hopefully, that has not heard that the Lord is coming back again. And then we're all preparing and hoping for it. The last thing we want is for that thing to happen and find out that we are left behind, God forbid. There will be gnashing of teeth and weeping, Jesus said. So, our prayer should be, may the Lord grant us favor to see the coming of the Lord. Should it happen in our generation? Now, all the signs are pointing to it. And we don't want to die. We want to see it. Now, it's not like those that die lose anything. You just go before the time. Because you know, they who are alive will not prevent them that are falling asleep in the Lord. One way or another, they'll get there. But what a joy to witness that joyous occasion. What a joy it will be. And what do we need to do? Walk in that kind of favor? Well, believe the Lord. You know, look for his appearing. Love his appearing too. You know, how do we love his appearing? Well, don't let the things of the world cloud that out of your mind. Sometimes we're running after so many things, we even don't want to hear about the coming of the Lord. You want to achieve this first. You want to do that first. I want to get married first. I want to have kids. I want to have a house. I want to become a millionaire. And this and this. You know, it was strange that in the 70s, in my generation, when we first started to hear that we were in the end time, we started to hear this thing called end time teachings. And we were hearing that the Lord was coming and that it was going to happen very soon. Well, some people say, well, you know, I better go get married. They left school. They started doing some things. I mean, the thing that was uppermost in their heart when they heard the Lord was coming was that they wanted to accomplish some things first. How crazy was that? I mean, when the Lord, Enoch didn't care whether the Lord, you know, whether he had wife or children or anything. Let the Lord take care of them. That was not his concern. While he was there, he was raising them and caring for them. When it was time to go, that's all he focused on. He was focused on that, no matter what happened afterwards. Ladies and gentlemen, let us focus on the coming of the Lord. Don't make excuses in your mind of what you want to do first. You know, one time Jesus told some parables. He said, well, you know, heaven is like a man that prepared a great feast and sent out invitations and all that. And all the people that were invited with one accord began to make excuses. One said, well, I married a wife, or I'm going to marry a wife, I'm going to school, or I'm going to do this, I bought a land, I've got to go till it, I do this and that. I mean, with one accord, they all made all kinds of excuses why they didn't want to go. Let that not be our portion in Jesus' name. And I charge ministers everywhere, you know, no matter what we preach, up and down, faith and so on, but we must always remember to remind people of the coming of the Lord. Because, you know, people forget. We say, remind one another, lest people's heart be charged with the cares of this life. And they forget. So we got to remind one another. You know, Jesus in the parables he told of the parable of the sower. There were some seeds that fell among thorns. You know, those seeds, they actually, you know, they could have done well, but because they were among thorns, the thorns choked out the life out of them. And Jesus said, well, these are the ones who, because of the chaos of this world, running after this, running after that, and so forth, they lose sight of the word of God, and they're choked out of them. May we not lose sight of the word. This is so No matter what you do, all these things are temporary. While we are here, well, we must do these things. But this is not these things that we must do, go to school, get married, have children, make money, and pay our bills. That's not the end of life. You know, what will it profit a man? He shall gain all that and then lose his whole soul or miss the rapture and end up with weeping and gnashing of teeth. What will it profit? And then there will be much regret. Say, oh my goodness. This is what we have been hearing about. Ah, you know. And then after that, there's only one way out. There's only one way out, because the mark of the beast will be fully instituted at that time. And there's only one way out. Those that miss the translation, the only way out is for them to not take the mark of the beast, but they will be killed for not doing it. Either they will starve to death or they will be killed one way or the other. The penalty of death, finally. You know, so wouldn't it be better for us to prepare our hearts now that we may escape? Isn't that what Jesus said in Luke 21 and 36? Pray ye therefore, you know, watch and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy, that's favor, accounted worthy to escape these things that are coming and to stand before the Son of Man. Some people don't want to escape. They say, everybody go through tribulation. Well, be my guest. But Jesus said, we can't escape. He even told us to pray to escape. You want to go through tribulation? Fine. Go through tribulation. But I guarantee you, you will wish you didn't. Because Jesus said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you suddenly wake up and realize that a lot of people are gone. And then it dawns on the world. It will dawn even on pastors and different people. It's not every pastor that's going to make it. You know, it could make it would turn on a lot of people. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Say, wow. I thought you were the one preaching to us that the Lord was coming. You know, my prayer, and I was even thinking about this last night. My prayer was, Lord, I don't want to be in that situation. I don't want to have preached to others and then I myself be a castaway. Paul was concerned about that. He was always checking himself, you know, examining himself, making sure that after I preached to others, he himself was on the castaway. And I prayed. I said, Lord, that's the last thing that must happen to me. I do not want to preach. I've been preaching this gospel for many, many years. And then at the end, be a castaway. Oh, my goodness. That's not my portion in Jesus' name. And neither will it be your portion. And may the Lord grant us favor to be counted worthy to be among those that will escape, according to Luke 21 and 36, and to stand before the Son of Man. So that's the story of Simeon. And let's talk about Jesus himself. Ooh, Rakandish Kuralabo Satani Bakali. The power of the devil couldn't come near him. He had favor everywhere. You know, but he got favor with God, got favor with man. He said, the prince of this world cometh, and he had nothing in me. In the book of Luke chapter 2, verse 52, we're told that Jesus increased in favor with God and with man. Hallelujah. May the Lord grant us increase in favor with God and with man. You know, God himself highly so favored this Jesus that he was introduced as God's own beloved son. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 22. The Lord said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know, Isaiah prophesied about that many, many years before. You know, he said in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born. And these prophets, they are in some different dimensions when they speak things. They speak it as though it's a reality. But yet they are looking far into the future. Unto us a child is born. He's looking at that child being born. And unto us a son is given or presented. When you give a gift, you present it. You know, so from the time that he was born as a child to the day that he was presented, well, one day, being baptized of John the Baptist, he came out of that water, the heavens opened up. Oh, my goodness. And there was a voice. Praise God. And also when they were in the excellent glory, Peter talked about it. When the mountain, there was also a voice that overshadowed them and said, "It's my beloved son. Hear ye him." You know, and they went to Mount Transfiguration. At different times, the Father acknowledged him as his dearly beloved son. And even one time, Jesus was praying. He said, "Father, glorify yourself." And there was a voice that came and said, "I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again." You know, and the Father always, you know, speaking out and sticking out his chest, so to speak, and saying, "That's my boy. That's my son in whom I'm well pleased." Well, that was tremendous favor. How did he get it? Well, how did he get that kind of favor? Well, let's see what Jesus did. Philippians 2, 5 to 9. You know the mind that was in Christ. The Bible said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be called God. But he emptied himself, made himself no reputation, took on the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name." Ha! Kundari alaba shete sukumai. That at the name of Jesus, every knee, whether in heaven or earth or under the sea or anywhere, must bow. That's right. How did he obtain it? Well, he emptied himself. And Jesus said, "The road up is down. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things in order to enter his glory?" He told them in Luke 24. You can't do it any other way. And no disciple is above his master. You know, if that's how Jesus did it, well, that's how we must do it. The road to glory must come through sufferings for Christ. You cannot do it any other way. That's how you obtain the tremendous glory. Where Jesus will say, "Come, ye blessed of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The kingdom prepared for you before the world began." You know, he told us that in the story and the lessons, the parables, you know, that he told in Matthew 25. We find out that the kingdom was actually prepared for us before the world began. Hallelujah. You can read that in Matthew 25 and verse 34. But how do we get that? How do we get there? Well, we do it like Jesus did. You know, once the Lord reveals to you, in you, the Son of God for salvation, then you must do like the Son of God did. Empty yourself and let the Father rule. Jesus said the Son can do nothing except what the Father shows him. Well, we must do that too. Once we are completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit, for the relationship between Jesus and the Father was modeling what the relationship should be between us and the Holy Spirit. As the Father was to Jesus, so is the Holy Spirit to us now. Father says, Jesus did. Holy Spirit says, we do. That's it. You know, end of story. We haven't got into that point, and many of us have not, including myself. Yeah, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to continue to work and help us. Got to get to that point. And, you know, some of the things that we struggle with, you know, the Lord will say on that day, "Why didn't you trust me with that?" You know, that's the thing. And then what's going to be your answer? Because the Lord already said that, you know, you can come unto me for everything. And if you're struggling with something, some aspect of disobedience, some aspect of unyieldedness, and so forth, and you don't leave it and trust it to the Lord to help you, well, what are you going to say when you stand before him and say, "Why didn't you trust me with that? I could have helped you with that." You know, and so we must, in order for us to obtain and maintain this favor, remember I said, not only how do you get it, but how do you manage the favor? Favor management. Once you get that favor, to manage it, well, first you get it by walking in the integrity of your heart. To manage, you continue to walk in the integrity of your heart. You continue to obey the word of the Lord. You continue to humble yourself. Never let arrogance and pride set in. Because that was the first sin that entered into the world. Pride entered into the heart of Lucifer. Lucifer had tremendous favor. It was the cherub that covered, it was the closest to the throne. He was going and in and out on the stones of fire. He had, you know, music inside of him. He was a shining thing. I mean, he was full of beauty, consummation of beauty. He was everything. But one day, he looked at it and said, my goodness, I mean, look at me. You know, I'm radiating with the beauty. You know, I can be like God. I will be like God. I will ascend to this and this. I will do this. I will do that. I. And then the Lord said, no, I'm going to bring you down to the sides of the pit. That's right. You know, so how do you maintain the favor of the Lord? You walk in humility. That's it. What is it that the Lord had taught thee, O man, but to walk humbly before him? What is the whole duty of man? Well, that's how the favor of God is maintained in your life. Is to walk humbly, you know, before the Lord. You know, that's it. You walk in humility. Walk in loving the Lord all the days of our life. Praise the Lord. You know, and that's how you maintain the favor that you already have. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Well, what is the conclusion of the whole matter? Well, let's hear it. Well, he says, this is what you must do. You know, the conclusion of the whole matter is for us to fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work to judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So, you know, that's how you do it, told us. And we must walk continually in the integrity of our heart. Praise the Lord. And what the scripture also asks us, you know, what is it that the Lord requires of you? You know, what does he require of us? Well, the question is being asked of us today. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 asks that question. What doth the Lord require of thee for you to maintain the favor? Well, there are different places where the Lord asks that question. It's in Micah chapter 6 verse 8. It's also in Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. That's the end of the matter. That's it. You know, that's how you not only obtain but maintain that favor, walking in favor. That's how you do it. You know, you've got to fear the Lord continually. Walk in all his ways. So read it for yourself, Deuteronomy 10 and 12. Not just walk in some of his ways. You walk in all his ways. And you love him. And serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And Micah 6, 8 puts it a different way. Say, well, to do good, to love the Lord, to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly before the Lord thy God. So when you put it all together, you see that humility is at the heart of it. Loving the Lord thy God, number one, humility, and so forth. Keeping his commandment, doing all, you know, everything to please him, walking in all his ways. That's how you maintain the favor from the Lord. Let me see if I can. I got to finish this thing up today. There's a few more folks that obtain tremendous favor from the Lord. Now, may we please the Lord, so please the Lord that we will hear of him and he will say of us, you are my beloved son or my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased, just like Christ. May we obtain that kind of favor in pleasing the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've got here, it looks like I've done 27 of these already. Number 28, the early church in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 to 47. They had favor, Bible says, with all the people. He obtained favor, going out, coming in, five tremendous miracles. Fear fell upon the people, and God gave favor to the early church, and they had favor among the people. May the Lord give us favor everywhere. Favor when you go out, favor you come in, favor among the people. You know, sometimes it doesn't look like you have favor, but believe me, favor is coming. Favor everywhere. The moment you transform your life to focus on the requirements that we just read here, you become a favor magnet from the Lord. Praise God. God give you favor everywhere. Philip, Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. Now, you might remember the story of Philip. He was one of the seven deacons that was appointed to serve tables. And the apostles said, the daily administration, widows have been neglected. They're not getting this. The apostles said, look, we don't have time for this. We got to preach the word. Here's what we're going to do. You seek to yourselves, among yourselves, seek out seven men full of the Holy Spirit that we may have, assign over this business. But we will give ourselves to prayer and to the word. So they chose seven. Two of them were called Stephen and Philip, and five others. Now this Philip, as well as Stephen, they worked miracles among the people. Favor of God was upon them. First, they were chosen, but they faithfully did their duties. I mean, they didn't say, well, just because I'm not an apostle, then I'm not going to preach. All I'm doing, supposed to do is serve tables. Well, they did serve tables. They did serve the widows. but then they went among the people. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, we're told that Stephen went among the people and did great miracles among the people. Went to the marketplace. Went among the people. Well, he's not one of the apostles, but so what? He still had the power and the Holy Spirit in here, and he could still do miracles, even though his job was to serve the widows. Well, when he was done serving the widows, he did that. Then he went out and did great miracles. So did Philip. In fact, Philip went out to a city called Samaria, and in Acts chapter 8, verse 6, the Bible says that, the whole city was turned to the Lord because of Philip's preaching. They heard and saw the miracles that he did. Devils came crying out and different things happening. And he brought revival to the whole city, just one man, and tremendous favor. And in the midst of all of that, the Holy Spirit told him, the angel of the Lord, these people also knew how to hear from God. The Holy Spirit told him, well, just leave all of that. So I'm going to leave all of that. I said, yeah. No argument. Go into the desert. I'll show you what next. And they found a eunuch, from Ethiopia and all of that, joined himself to the man. The man was reading Isaiah, knew not about it. He said, do you understand? I said, well, how can I? No man showed me. Come up in the chariot. He went and they showed it to him. And after they went a little bit, I'm rushing through the story now, they found some water. And the man said, Holy Ghost already, instructing the man. So the man said, I want to be baptized. Philip wasn't necessarily, trying to persuade the man to be baptized. The man asked of it. And they said, then Philip said, do you believe with all your heart? I said, I believe. Then fine. You may be baptized. So they come out of the water, stop the chariot, were baptized. And as soon as Philip was done baptizing the man in the water, listen to it, the Bible says that Philip was caught up supernatural transportation. He received tremendous favor to do that. Praise the Lord. And the next thing you see, Philip was found caught up from the Spirit of the Lord and found somewhere else. He was now found in Azotus. I don't know how far that was from Samaria or whatever. But he went and was preaching the Lord to other cities as well. Now, even the rest of the apostles could not boast that they were experiencing supernatural transportation like this man did. Except for one time when Jesus came in the boat, and the Bible said the boat was immediately on the other. other side. Well, that time they all experienced it as a group. But this man, Philip, as an individual, he experienced something similar to what Elijah used to experience. Caught up by the Spirit of God from place to place. And tremendous favor. And how did he do it? Because he obeyed the Lord. I mean, miracles were happening. People were bringing their curious hearts. Devils were crying out. And the Lord said to him, leave all of that and go into the bush. You know, I don't know if any of us today would have done this thing that Philip did. Probably would still be there rebuking that voice. And that can't be the voice of the Lord. I mean, how can I leave all these things and then go into with no man's land? Well, you don't argue with the Holy Spirit. He knows what he's doing. And that was the day the gospel went to Africa. This man, this prince, eunuch from Ethiopia, took the gospel back. You know, you might say that Philip influenced all of Africa, you know, by the singular act of obedience that he did. Now, when we obey the Lord, there's all kinds of things that can happen afterwards. You don't know that yours will be physical transportation, but whatever it is, this man obtained favor. And may we also obtain favor and this kind of experiences from the Lord. Let me move on to Peter. I'm coming to the end of this quickly now. Peter, in Acts chapter 12, verses 5 to 11, he found favor with God, who sent his angel and delivered him from the impending execution that Herod was planning for him. Herod laid hands on James, killed him before anybody found out what was happening. And everybody, all the Jews rejoiced at it. So he got a hold of Peter as well, stuck him in the prison, said, well, I'm going to bring him out. He started killing loves like everybody, like killed James. Make everybody happy. Well, Peter, therefore, was stuck in prison, but the whole church got out together to pray for him, we're told. And along midnight one day, favor came upon Peter. Favor to break him out of prison. Ha! Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Lord grant us this kind of favor. Deliver you, your loved ones, from the plans of the enemy to kill you. Deliver us and our loved ones from the hands of the enemy to kill us. And the plans of Herod were frustrated by the Lord. Came up empty. Job chapter 5 verse 12 says, the Lord frustrates the devices of the wicked so that their hands cannot perform any of their enterprise against you. Can't do it. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Every plan of the enemy, the Lord will frustrate it in Jesus' name. You know, the Lord will frustrate the plans of the enemy against you. May the Lord grant us this kind of favor, that he will frustrate the plans of the enemy against you, and it would not work. Praise the Lord. No enchantment or divination, Numbers 23:23, will work against you. And the Lord said, thus saith the Lord, Isaiah 44, you know, and verse 24. Thy Redeemer, even he that formed thee from the womb, I am he that maketh all things, strength for the heavens alone. I didn't need any help to do it. Spread for the earth by myself. I didn't need any help to do that either. Frustrated the tactics of the liars. Make a divine as mine. Anybody that's trying to divine anything against you, God said, make them mine. Turn them backwards. Frustrate them. Hands cannot perform any of the enterprise against you. May the Lord grant us that kind of favor in receiving protection for you and your loved ones and deliver you suddenly from the plans of the enemy, just like he delivered Peter. What about Paul and Silas? It's number 31. Acts 16, verses 25 to 27, they also obtained favor from the Lord. Lord sent his angel to break them out of prison as they praised the Lord gladly. Bible says, in the midst of their tribulation, suffering for Christ, they prayed and sang praises at midnight. Not only silently, but loud enough that all the prisoners heard them, and they glorified God. And the Lord sent from heaven and took them. Sent an angel, split back the chains, earthquake, break up everything. And well, God set them free. They chose not to leave though. And they brought salvation to the house of the jailer. "What shall I do?" the man said. He was trying to kill himself. I said, this prisoner escaped. I'm good as dead. He said, "Don't hurt yourself. We're all here." And I said, "Oh my goodness. What shall I do then?" "Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved in your household." They brought him into his house. Brought them into his house. And they preached to all those people. They're all saved and baptized. Now, favor breaks them out of prison. Favor with them even when they were still in trouble. The angel of the Lord being with them and so on. May the Lord God deliver you from imprisonments. Oh, Mardus Kali Taparushi Tanasokaya. There may be people that are in prison, justly or unjustly. The God of heaven deliver you in Jesus. And there's also spiritual prison too. Imprisonments of the devil and every impossible situation. And you praise him in confidence. These people are praising the Lord at midnight. There's no way they're coming out of there. But their praises broke the chains. Glory to God. The Lord grant you that kind of favor. Last but not the least, let me quickly talk about Cornelius. I'm out of time. Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. It was a man that received favor from God. You know, because of his alms and the good deeds that he did. You know, so sometimes that can bring you favor too. It's like paying it forward. Talked about that yesterday. All the good things that you are doing today can bring favor to you tomorrow or to your children. You know, we saw that in the story of Mephibosheth yesterday. So this man, Cornelius, also, he found favor with God. The angels told him that, well, you obtain favor with God because of your good deeds. Your prayers and your alms have come before God as a memorial for all your good deeds. Hallelujah. And may the Lord also remember your good deeds. And when it counts, may it speak for you. Huh? Those good deeds speak for you when it counts. Dorcas, her good deeds, spoke for her. She had made purple and different materials for the saints. And when she died, those things spoke for her. People said this was a woman that did all these great things. Well, and the Lord brought her back to life. May all your good deeds and so forth speak for you, cause you to obtain favor from the Lord, rewards from God for your steadfastness. Praise the Lord. But that's it all for all of our, recipients of favor in the scriptures. There may be many more, but at least, you know, you got plenty. And let me again wrap it up with some of our key scriptures. Psalm 5, verse 12. The Lord, thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous and with favor that will surround him as with a shield. Psalm 30 and verse 7. Thy favor, O Lord, has made my mountain to stand strong. Psalm 102, verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. It's a time of refreshing. When the set time has come, on and on and on. Praise the Lord. And how do you get this favor? Well, he said, you will find favor and good understanding the sight of God and man when you keep his words in your heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. A good man will also obtain favor from the Lord. That's by walking in integrity of your heart. The king's favor is towards the wise servant. We talked about that yesterday. So that's Proverbs 14 and verse 35. And who is a wise servant? Matthew 24 talks about it. Luke 12 also talks about it. He that is faithful in doing the work that the Lord assigned to him. And if the Lord shall find in so doing, will obtain the blessing of the king. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16 and 15. The light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. Now, here's a prayer we're going to take right now. This prayer is found in Luke 21 and 36. Jesus said, pray that you may be counted worthy, that's favor, to escape the great tribulation, and to be able to stand with the Lord and be translated to be with the Lord. That's a prayer that we're going to pray. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, looking forward to it, tells it, So, you know, we which are alive and remain, well, you know, we will be caught up with the Lord. Hallelujah. God will bring those who have fallen asleep and bring us up together. And the archangel himself descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of trumpet, the dead in Christ shall rise. We shall be caught up together. This is our hope. So let us pray that the Lord will grant us the grace to escape all the evil, have favor. Let us pray for the favor, like Jabez prayed, favor upon my walk, favor upon my ways, bless me and keep me from evil, keep my house from evil. Well, I pray all those prayers too, but you must do His will. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, as we wrap up this lesson and this series. All the words that we have spoken, Lord, let the Holy Spirit bring it to our remembrance. As it is written, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will remind you of the things wherein I have spoken unto you, and also show you things to come. But I pray the favor that is coming to your children, coming our way, favor coming your way, will be able to show it to you. Favor on your job, favor on your families, favor even for couples to receive children, favor for tremendous blessing to get recovery from what the devil has stolen from you. Favor everywhere. Favor when you are petitioning the government. Favor everywhere. All these things that we have talked about throughout this series, the Lord grant you favor in every aspect as it pertains unto you. Whichever part pertains unto you, the Lord grant you favor in it. And finally, Lord, we pray that you will grant us favor to be accounted worthy to escape the judgments that are coming upon this world in the great tribulation, and to stand before the Son of Man, be translated with other saints in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and glory. We thank you for the times of refreshing that we are now entering. Receive favor from the Lord. May our lives transform to become favor magnets, even as we're walking in integrity of our hearts and obeying the voice of the Lord, walking in humility and doing His will. Favor shall come unto us, thereby good and favor shall come unto us in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.